Right, let's stand together, James chapter number 1. I'm going to start a brand new series leading up into our revival. I'm going to entitle the series, Take the Leap to Revival. Sometimes a lot of people are afraid to cross over to the other side because of the expectation and the responsibility that God's going to place on you after you get your heart right with the Lord. But I'm telling you, it is worth the journey and it is worth the leap. Can somebody say amen? And so we're starting revival around here. It's approaching pretty soon to prepare our hearts. God allowed us all to pray last week together. Brother Travis opened up the Believer Sunday School class last Sunday. He'll do that again this Sunday and probably every Sunday after that. If you'd like to get together around 5:40, we'll have prayer together. Everybody's welcome to come, and we'll take up some quick prayer requests, but we're going to be praying for revival, praying for our needs. So we're going to take the leap to revival, and I thought a good place for us to start was basically just how to prepare our lives. I want us to prepare our hearts for revival. You say, Brother David, how do I prepare myself for revival? James chapter 1 and verse 19 and following, James is going to tell us exactly how to prepare our hearts to receive the word of God. Look what he says in verse number 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and we'll explain that here later, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Verse 23, for if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is likened unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. For pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. I'm going to ask you to be seated. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer as we take the leap to revival, preparing for that leap. Let's pray together. Father, we are so thankful, Lord, that you've given us another opportunity to come into your house to hear the word of God. And we thank you, Lord, for the songs, Lord, that have been sung today, Lord, reminding us of the love of God. So I pray, God, that you prepare my heart and my mind today to preach your word. Help us, God, to receive your word with a readiness, with an expectation, God, that you're going to do something in and through our lives. Change us, Lord, and help us to be more like Jesus, and we will thank you for it. And all God's people can say, amen. Now, I'm going to show you a picture up on the screen of a gentleman. This man's name is Eric Weinmayer. Maybe many of you know who Eric is. Eric's story is an amazing story. Eric started suffering from blindness around the age of 13. He developed into a very rare eye disease at the age of 13. But his handicap did not prevent him from climbing. He knew that he would never be able to play a baseball game. He wouldn't be able to dribble a basketball. He wouldn't be able to do some of the things other kids did. But he thought within himself, it's not going to stop me from climbing. And so Eric goes on this amazing journey, learning to overcome his handicap, and he learns to climb as a blind man. And amazingly, on May the 25th, 2001, Eric does the incredible. He actually reached the peak of Mount Everest. Now, 90% of people who ever tried to make the attempt failed. Over 165 or more has even died trying since 1953. So this is an incredible task for an individual to overcome his blindness and actually climb all the way to the top. Now, the question everybody asks when looking at Eric and reading his story, and you can search this on the internet and hear him tell his story himself on YouTube, everybody asks, how did he do it when everybody else failed? If over hundreds of people have failed and even died trying, how did Eric make it, overcome his handicap? What made him different from everybody else? I can tell you that just from looking at his story and reading about his life, that the key to Eric's success was this. He learned to listen well. He learned to listen well. He listened to a little bell that was ringing on the back of the climber in front of him so he would know which direction to go. He listened to the voice of his teammates as they would shout back to him periodically saying, "Death fall 2 feet to your right," or "Death fall 2 feet to your left," and then he would adjust himself so he would not fall. He listened to the sound of the pick going into the ice so he would know whether or not caution needed to be taken. This man listened well, and because he listened, he climbed higher and higher and higher. Now, what's true of Eric is true of everybody in this room. As we prepare to climb higher and higher with God, we have got to learn to listen well. Listening well made all the difference in Eric's life. And I can tell you today that every time the man of God stands up to preach the Word of God or to teach the Word of God, listening well is going to make all the difference in your life. If you believe that, say amen. Now, this is the section we're studying here in James chapter number 1. James is trying to encourage his readers and challenge them to take the Word of God seriously in their daily walk. And so as we study this chapter this morning, if we're going to take a leap always starts with what? Some steps, all right? And so since we have to take some steps in order to leap, I want to give you 3 steps this morning that's going to help you to take that leap to revival. And I want you to write them down, and I believe you're going to be better for it. I believe that God's going to do something great in the life of our church during this revival. I've seen it building over the past several weeks, and God just really poured out His Spirit on us last Sunday to prepare our hearts to receive the Word of God. I don't know about you, but I've been thinking about that service all week. I had lunch with some guys this week, and we were talking about how there's a revival spirit, not only in church, but also in Sunday school. Brother Bennett's class and some other classes have had some wonderful movements of God as they just prayed throughout their Sunday school time. And so it's amazing to hear what God is doing in the life of our church. Amen? And so what steps are we going to continue to take in order to prepare our life for this wonderful leap? Number one, here's the first step. The first step is the preparation of our life. You've got to begin preparing your life right now, excuse me, for revival. Look at verse number 19. This outlines the preparation of our life. He says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man." Now, this is not just for the preacher or for the teacher or for a select few. The Bible says, every man. This is all inclusive. All of us. Let every man, and it reads like a proverb, be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Now, James is going to give us several clear distinctives, and it's these 3 that I just read to you in verse number 19, how we prepare ourselves to receive the Word of God. You say, "Brother David, I want to get the most out of every single service." You know, when a man of God preaches or the Sunday school teacher teaches, how can I prepare myself to get the most out of everything that is going on? Well, these directives are going to help you. Here's the first directive. Concentrate on listening. Look at verse 19. Be swift to hear. Now, it's interesting. In verse 19, that phrase, be swift to hear, denotes readiness. You've got to be ready to hear the Word of God. It means readiness, devotion, and thoughtfulness of hearing. Such hearing causes you to be obedient to the Word of God. So to be swift to hear, you got to say within yourself, I'm going to be ready. That is, I'm laying aside all impediments. I'm not going to worry about what's going to happen this week, last week, the days ahead. I'm going to prepare my heart and my ears to tune in to what the man of God is going to say to me. And so we are ready to listen. As I was thinking about this sermon this week and how we ought to be ready to hear, I think one of the things we're losing today in our culture is the ability to listen. We are such a social media driven culture that we are losing something that our parents and our grandparents cherished, and that was listening. Listening in order to learn. We are so sight driven today through Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, YouTube, and all and the media, the internet, television. We're so sight driven that we want to learn by what we see, and we refuse to learn by listening. Takes too much time, too much effort. We want to see things instead of listen. The Word of God tells us that it is vitally important for you and I to listen. I was reading the comments of one psychologist, and he said this. He said, listen to the conversation of our world, between nations as well as between couples. They are, for the most part, dialogues of the deaf. Dialogues of the deaf. That is, there are so many words that are being spoken in our world, but so few of them are being heard. There are billions and billions of words being spoken in our world, but very few people are listening. And so I begin asking myself, why is the world filled with a dialogue of the deaf? Why are so many people speaking and giving instruction, but yet so many people refusing to listen? And so I begin to meditate on my own counseling with people through the years and some observations that I have learned why people just refuse to listen. Why they block it out. They don't hear instruction. They don't take instruction. When you're in a conversation with them, you know that they're not listening. How many of you have ever, hey, if you got teenagers in your home, you know what I'm talking about right now. How many of you have been talking to your family or to somebody, and you're talking and talking, but you know for a fact they are not listening? Raise your hand. If you've raised a teenager, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Why is it that we have such poor listening skills? Well, let me give you my observations why people do not listen. And I don't have them on the screen, just kind of listen well, and this will help you. Number one, you take a position that you're always right and everybody else is wrong. And so when somebody's trying to instruct you and they're trying to give you some wisdom, you already have a position that you are right and they are wrong. So the thing that you do is you just, in your mind, you're always thinking about what you're going to say next because you know that they're always wrong and you're always right. You've got a preoccupation with proving your own point. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to, you're sitting there and you're talking to them and you're giving some wisdom or some counsel that you know that's going to help them. Everybody else around them knows, but they have such a preoccupation with defending themselves and proving their own point that they just refuse to listen. There are others I have found, they feel sorry for themselves and they want to soak in self-pity. They want to be the martyr. They want to be the victim. So they don't listen to you because they enjoy the self-pity. They want everybody around them to feel sorry for them. And if they were listening, it just might help them to get out of the self-pity. But because they enjoy it, they enjoy the attention, they want to soak and sour, they refuse to actually listen. There are others that are fearful of constructive criticism because they suffer from pride. So much pride on the inside, if you were to set them down or to talk to them and said, hey, this is what you need to do, or this is the direction you might need to go, or you might need to consider this, there's such a pride issue within their heart that they cannot receive criticism at all, and they don't listen. You are always defending yourself, and you're uncomfortable with being instructed. You want what you want when you want it, and you become confrontational or defiant when you do not get it. You live with a sense of entitlement. You think people owe you something. You think you've been saved for a long time, or perhaps you've got a degree, or perhaps you have a position in the church, or you've got this or that going on. You've got this sense of entitlement. So when people speak to you, you do not listen because your heart is full of pride. You live with mistrust and fear of being manipulated. You're always thinking the worst. There's a booger behind every bush. You know, when the boss comes out and says there's a better way for you to do it, or your parents say there's a better way for you to do it, you don't want to be manipulated. And you're fearful of being manipulated. You're saying in your heart, I'm my own man. I'm my own woman. I'm going to do it my way. I'm not going to do it anybody else's way. I don't want to be manipulated by nobody. And you refuse to listen. We are living in a culture where there are so many people that have so many issues with listening that the Word of God is not soaking deep into their heart. And so the Bible tells you and I repeatedly that we are to open up our ears and concentrate on listening to the Word of God. James is saying to have an open ear and be ready to listen. His appeal to every single believer is to seize every opportunity and to increase their exposure to the Scripture and to the Word of God. He says, be swift to hear. When you concentrate on listening, you are taking the steps in getting ready to make the jump to revival. If you believe that, say amen. Read a great poem this week by an individual called E. May Grimes, and they said this: speak, Lord, in the stillness while I wait on thee. Hush my heart to listen in expectancy. And when I read that poem, I was automatically reminded of Samuel in chapter number 3, verse 1 to verse number 10. When you read about the great prophet Samuel, in his younger days, he didn't walk with the Lord. He really didn't know the Lord until God calls him in this wonderful chapter. And it's a beautiful picture. Samuel is under the ministry of Eli, or the tutorship of Eli, and he is in his home, and all of a sudden, he hears a voice calling his name. And he gets up and he runs into the room and he asks Eli, he says, did you call for me? And Eli's like, I didn't call for you. You must have heard something else. And so he goes back to bed and doing his duties, and he hears his name being called again. He jumps back up a second time and runs and says, Eli, did you call for me? He said, no. He said, I didn't call for you. I don't know what you're hearing. Go back to bed. He goes back to bed, and the third time, he hears somebody calling him. He jumps back up, and he runs into Eli. He says, Eli, did you call me? This time, Eli says, you know what? This must be God calling you. And next time you hear him call your name, you need to say, Lord, your servant heareth. And so he goes back to bed, and he hears the voice of God. God calls out to Samuel. Samuel jumps up, and he's like, Lord, here is your servant. You speak, and I will hear. You know what? We need a room full of Samuels. We need individuals. When God begins calling out our name, we are so concentrated on listening to the voice of God that we hear him calling us. We know exactly what he wants us to do, and then we can begin to take the leap to revival. We prepare our lives not only by concentrating on listening, but also, verse 19, controlling your tongue. Look at verse number 19. It says, be swift to hear, concentrate on listening, and slow to speak. Now, you're never going to learn anything while you're talking. You can only learn things when you hush your mouth. Somebody say amen. That's what I tell my children, all right? You're not going to don't speak. I'm speaking. You don't speak, because when you don't speak, you're going to listen, and you're going to be a lot wiser after this conversation, and all the parents can say, amen, all right? So if you're speaking, you're not listening. The same thing happens within the church. If on the inside of your heart, you're speaking to yourself and saying, I'm not going to listen to the Word of God, I'm not going to listen to that preacher, I don't care what God has to say, and you're constantly just speaking to yourself in the service, you're telling yourself this and that, you've got a defiant spirit, you're not going to hear what God has to say. Quit arguing God and just shut up. Amen. Quit arguing God and just be quiet. Ask, like Samuel did, say, God, here am I am ready to hear, and God, I want you to speak. You're never going to learn anything as long as you continue to run your mouth on the outside and on the inside. Somebody say amen. Time spent in silence is well invested. When you just get alone with God and you're just silent before him, you're not bringing a list before God saying, God, I want you to do this. Lord, I want you to bless me here or bless me there. You are just silent before the Lord, and you're asking God to bless you. I have read of a Roman orator. He's a famous Roman orator. And a young man came to ask him if he would teach him how to public speak. And so the young man continued on, and he's talking to the guy, and he's like, I want to do this, and I want to do that. He's just talking. And this orator is just sitting there listening to him. And he finally looks at him and says, young man, to instruct you in oratory, I will have to charge you a double fee. He said, why? He said, because I will have to teach you two skills. The first how to hold your tongue, the second, how to use it. Amen? So many times we allow our tongues to get us in trouble. We are talking and arguing with God within ourselves. We're arguing with God. We're saying, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do it that way. And God says, listen, if you want revival, you want to receive my word, you've got to be swift to hear and then slow to speak. And then he says, not only to control your tongue, but he also says, contain your temper. Look at verse number 20. He says, slow to wrath. So here are the three things he says. Listen to him. Swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Now, I think in verse number 20, James seems to be speaking about an anger about the truth. That is, when you hear the truth and you know it's the truth, you get angry over it. Boy, that's happened to me before. God just stepped all over my toes and stirred up all my garbage real well, and I get upset because God's exposed my sin. God's exposed my weakness. God's exposed something that I need to do and I need to change. And many times we get angry with God. And so James is saying, if you're going to receive the word of God, you're going to have to be swift to hear, listening to God, slow to speak, don't be talking and arguing back with God, and slow to wrath, don't get angry when the word of God exposes your sin and exposes your personal bad habits. The Bible says in Galatians 4, verse 16, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Am I your enemy now because I tell you the truth? I've met with so many people over the years, I'm like, you're going down a bad road. You're taking the wrong steps. This path that you're on is leading to destruction. You're going to get yourself in a mess. And the whole time, they're not listening. And they get angry because they think maybe we're getting on to them. Maybe we're criticizing them when really and truly we love them and we want the very best for them. And they get mad at us. They get angry at you. I can say as Paul did, am I now your enemy because I tell you the truth? You know, teenagers, when we tell you not to have sex before marriage, not to drink, not to smoke dope, not to go to parties, not to be with wild individuals, when we're talking about separation, mom and daddy says there's some places that you shouldn't go, there's some people you shouldn't hang around with, don't get mad at them, because mom and daddy can say, hey, are you going to get mad at me? Am I your enemy because I tell you the truth? Your mom and dad's been there before. They know what's going on. They know where that life can lead. So listen to the wisdom that they are imparting to you. Somebody say amen. So you got to control your tongue. Quit talking and start listening. You've got to contain your temper. Don't get angry over the truth. Ask God to help you to grasp the truth. And then you got to clean up your life. Look what he goes on to say. He says in verse 19, he says, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, because of everything I just said, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word, the planted word. Here James sees the word of God like a seed that's planted down deep into the human heart. And when you allow wisdom and instruction and the word of God to be planted into your heart, it begins to blossom and take root. And it grows into something beautiful. He uses the word there, superfluity. It's not a word that we use too much today in our English vernacular, but it's an old King James word that means above measure or overflowing. The word filthiness there, in extra biblical language, was a word that was used. Now, I'm not going to gross you out, but this is what it was for. It was a word that was used for earwax. And so when James talks about a superfluity of naughtiness, superfluity of this filthiness, he's talking about that there's so many things that causes ear infection where we cannot hear the word of God. You have got to allow God to get the earwax out of your spiritual ears and to help you so you can hear. Somebody say amen. And there are many things that we do that causes a spiritual infection within our listening. So James is saying, you need the medicine of the word of God. It's an antibody to you. It's an antibiotic to you that's going to help you to get rid of the infection, clean out your ears where you can hear the very voice of God speaking to you today. So how do I prepare my life? Number one, I prepare by concentrating on listening. I've got to control my tongue, contain my temper, and then, man, I've got to clean up my life. How do I do that, Brother David? Only with God's help. If you believe that, say amen. What's the second step? The first step is not only preparing my life, preparation for my life, but the second step is the examination of my life. Look at verse 21 to verse number 25 in the text. Now, what he's going to talk about here in these verses, he is asking us to concentrate our attention. He says, control your tongue, contain your anger, clean up your life, and when you do this, the believer is now ready to receive the word of God. Look at verse number 21. The Bible says, it says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness, and receive. That word receive there means to welcome. You are to welcome the word of God. You are living in such anticipation and excitement that the word of God's going to change you and do something for you. Many of you come into this room and your ears are so clogged with the things of the world that you never hear the instruction. You never hear the wisdom that's coming from God that's going to help save your life. The decisions that you make are taking you on a path. And what you need is God's direction and God's help. Somebody say amen. So you say, God, I'm coming today. I'm going to receive your word. It means I'm going to welcome it. It doesn't matter if it speaks to my sin, if it speaks to my bad habits, if it speaks to my broken life. I'm going to receive your word with such anticipation that I'm going to leave a better man and a better woman. He says receive, but he says to do this, verse 21, I'm to receive your word with meekness. Now that word meekness there means gentleness or humility. It's speaking of an individual that has a teachable spirit. The problem with our culture today, people don't want to be teachable. We are so full of pride that we just don't listen no more. We don't take instruction. We don't listen to God. We don't listen to the wisdom of our parents. We don't listen to the wisdom of our peers. And we don't receive instruction and righteousness with a gentle and humble spirit. We're not to be finicky. We're to be teachable individuals. He says you receive this with meekness. Then he says the engrafted word of God. As I said earlier, that word engrafted there means like a farmer planting a seed. Do you realize this? I know you don't catch everything in the sermon, but there are some things that you do catch in the sermon. Little bitty seeds that God scatters out there, all sorts of seeds, different applications for different people, and God takes that seed and plants it into the human heart. If you will allow God to water that seed and nurture that seed, it will grow and blossom and you will be a better individual. This is, friend, the examination of my life. I have got to allow myself to welcome the word of God. I have to have a gentle and humble spirit. Then I've got to allow God to cultivate the very soil of my soul. That God weeds out anything that's in there, that hard heart that's not going to listen. That hard heart, that's the soil of the heart is so hard and you can't grind it up and plant the seed. God, I want you to grind it up. I want the soil of my soul to be fertile ground. I want you to be able to plant the seed down deep, because if the seed is not planted deep in my heart, then the devil can come by on that hard ground and pick up the seed and take off with it. Friend, we need the word of God to have soil that is planted deep within the human heart. Just think about what one sermon can do, what one song can do, what one verse of scripture can do, one word of the word of God can do. It can transform the life radically. And so James begins to talk about this. I want you to examine your life. And he says in verse 23 and verse number 24, don't be a forgetful hearer. Look at verse 23. He says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. He says in verse 24, or verse 23, for if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's likened unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass. For when he beholds himself and goes his way, straightway forgets what manner of man he was. What he's talking about there, don't be a forgetful hearer. It'd be like you guys getting up this morning and you're getting ready to shave. And let's just say Caleb Jones shaved his goatee. I seen him at the restaurant the other day, and I said, man, something's different about you. I couldn't tell what it was at first. It took me a few moments, and I'm like, you know, there's something different about you. He's like, I shaved my goatee. You look totally different. Let's just say Caleb was going to shave his goatee, and he started shaving it, and he got half of it shaved off. And then all of a sudden, something caught his eye. He was distracted by the kids, and he walks away, and he starts dealing with the kids or dealing with something at home, and he forgot that he only shaved half of his beard. And he walks away, and I see him at the restaurant the other day, and Caleb walks up, and he's only got half a beard on this side. Well, we would all think he's just a little bit crazy, amen? Well, he's crazy anyhow, but that's beside the point. We think he's a little bit crazy. There's something strange about what's going on. What happened was he was looking into the mirror, and when he walked away from the mirror, he forgot what manner of man he was. He only had half of the goatee that was shaved. And what happens to many of us, we look into the Word of God and we see what manner of man we are, what sort of person we become. The law of liberty begins to reflect back upon us and we see exactly who we are. But what we do, we forget about what manner of man we are. We forget about how God exposes, there's my sin, there's my faults, there's my failures. And we get distracted by the world and we walk away from the mirror of God's word and we forget about how to clean up our lives. James is saying, don't be a forgetful hearer. When you hear the word of God and God exposes your sin, you need to act on it immediately. Somebody say amen. You are to be a faithful doer, not a forgetful hearer. Verse 25. But whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty, that's talking about the Bible, looking into the Bible, and continues therein, you're staring at the pages of the Word of God, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So these are the steps. The first step, this preparation of life. The second step, the examination of my life. When I do these two things, I'm getting ready to take the leap for revival. Let me give you the last one, the application in our life. Now, verse 26 and verse number 27 wraps everything up in the text. Look at verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Because pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now, it's important to become a good listener to the Word of God, but that in and of itself is of no lasting value. God wants us to listen, but not only are we to listen, but we are to act upon the Word of God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. He also said in Luke chapter 11, verse 28, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. It's interesting, last week when I was typing out my notes for the guys, I have chubby fingers are here, right? And I'm not the best typer in the world, but I do pretty good. And so I'm typing out my notes and stuff, and I actually put Luke 11, verse 28. This is the DLS version, David Lynn Sampson version, right? I typed, blessed are they that heat, instead of hear. Heat the word of God and keep it. And so I got to looking at that this week, and I said, you know what? That's really not too bad of a mistake there. Blessed are they that heat the Word of God and keep it. You know, I think the Word of God ought to be like a warm meal. Amen? I believe the Word of God, it ought to heat up our heart. You know, on this cold Georgia winter day, you know, isn't it great to know that the Word of God, Frank, can heat up the inside of our heart? Blessed are they that hear and heat the Word of God, that is, apply it to their heart and their life, where there's not just listening, there's action. There's some friction going on. There's something going on in my life that's causing me to respond to the Word of God. You say, Brother David, how does James tell us to do this? How are we to hear this Word of God? How do I know I'm actually listening in the first place? You know, I'm in the service, I'm doing my best, I'm writing down notes, and how do I know I'm actually getting what I'm listening to? Well, James concludes the section by giving three examples, three behaviors that a person has when they are actually listening to the Word of God. Here's the test. Number one, the test of self-control. Look at verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. If you walk out of here just arguing with God, arguing with the preacher, arguing with mom and dad, arguing with the wisdom around you, then you're not listening to the Word of God. Amen. This is the test of self-control. Bridle your tongue. Be silent. Be still. And know that God is God in your life. Let God expose your sin. Let God expose your error. Let God expose your bad habits. And begin walking with the Lord. Somebody say amen. If I'm not arguing with God and I'm sitting in silence, I'm listening to the preacher, I'm listening to my teachers, I'm listening to mom and dad, I'm listening to those around me, I'm listening to this good counsel, I'm silent, I'm holding my tongue. And that means somewhere along the line I was listening. God's helping me right now. So there's the test of self-control. How do I know I'm listening? Not only the test of self-control, but the test of spiritual compassion. I believe as you hear the Word of God, it puts your feet to moving. Amen? I don't believe that we're just a set here and to listen and listen and not do anything for Jesus. I think when you listen and you're actually hearing, you're going to do something for God. Look at verse 26. The Bible says this man's religion is in vain if he just keeps on talking. But pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father, is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. There is spiritual compassion. You're going to get on board with our missional mandate here at the church. Thank God many of you have. If you can't go, you've decided to give. If you can't go and give, you've decided to go to the Lord in prayer and ask God to bless and to help. Thank God we have a church that's missions-minded. Why? Because the Bible says, I've got to have this spiritual compassion. That is the fatherless and the widows. That is those who are helpless and those that are hurting and those that have no hope. That's who God called us to. And when our church is actively involved in that, all it does, it tells me that they're getting it. They're listening. I don't have to beg you to volunteer. You volunteer yourself. You come up with ideas yourself. And you engage the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ yourself. Why? Because God has created within you the spiritual compassion of missions to go and tell people about Jesus. Hallelujah to his name. Man, and I'm thankful for it. I am happy to be a part of that type of church. It tells me that people are getting it. They're listening. They're praying. Last week, I was proud of Brother Travis when he texted me, and he said, hey, I'm going to be in the believers class at 5:40. Anybody wants to come out and pray? Let's invite them to come out and pray. I said, do you want just men? Text back. He said, nope, anybody can come. Let's just pray together. And so I sent the text out and said, hey, we're having prayer time. And several of you came out and we just prayed. What I'm proud of is the fact that after a great service like that, we could say, man, we prayed enough this week. We don't have to pray the rest of the week. We prayed for so long on Sunday morning, we've caught up on our prayers. There's no need to pray again tonight. He's seen the need for us to continue to pray. Why? Because there's a need. There's hurting people. There are helpless people. God's mandate on us is to go. Somebody say amen. And so we are to pray and to go to the highways and hedges, compel them to come in, that God's house may be filled. So there's the test of self-control. There's the test of spiritual compassion. And then, here's the big one. There's the test of social corruption. Look at verse number 27. He says, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. How do I know you're hearing the Word of God? You are keeping yourself holy before the Lord. You're not allowing yourself to go and participate in the things of the world. The Word of God's working in your heart where it tells you no. Don't go here. No, don't do that. And all of a sudden, you find yourself walking on a highway of holiness, keeping yourself unspotted from the world. You know, the only thing that's going to guard you against the world's corruption today is the Word of God. It's a shield of faith to you and I. Amen? The Word of God's going to help us to stay away from the moral corruption and the moral compromise that's happening in our world. So as I'm listening to the Word of God, and I'm letting it, I'm receiving it, I'm welcoming His word in, I'm taking instruction from my peers, good instruction from my mom and dad, good instruction and wisdom from those around me. I'm taking this in, it changes me on the inside, where I'm not spotted and wrinkled by the things of the world. You know, there's some people sitting here today in this room, and you're saying, Brother David, that's me. I've argued with God, I've argued with my parents, I've argued with my peers, I've argued with myself. I'm the most unhappiest individual. Why don't you just silence yourself this morning and listen to what God's trying to tell you? He's telling you that you're on a path, and every decision that you make, listen well, every decision that you make keeps you on that path. The decision you're going to make today about the Word of God, about this service, about your life, it's either going to keep you on a path that's going the wrong way, or you can listen to God and change directions and go the other way to where God will bless you and God will help you. Every decision you make, every bad decision you make, keeps you on a path that's going to lead to a place that you don't want to be. So quit arguing with God. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Don't get angry at me because I'm telling you the truth. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus today. Lay your burdens here before God and say, God, I want to be like Samuel. Here is your servant. Lord, speak. Amen. Father, we pray today that you would bless those that are here, Lord, with the ability to listen to the Word of God. Lord, we are such, Lord, we're a culture where we argue and we defend our ways and we have this predisposition about us that we don't want to be manipulated. We're so full of pride that we think we know it all. Lord, that's our people. That's our culture today. God, I don't want to be that type of person. Lord, give me the ability to hear. Hear the Word of God. Hear good instruction. Positive things being spoken into my life that help me and direct me along life's way. So, Father, I pray for my friends that are here today. I know some need to come, Lord. Perhaps are already coming. And I pray, God, that you'd bless them and encourage them today. As we come to Jesus, help us to receive your Word. We want to leap, God, to revival. Help us, God, to overcome the obstacles of life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's